next hour you will experience rock and roll for your soul. Music so intense you will find yourself asking,
is this really Christian?
Yes, it is. And now, for the host of My Dad Rock Experience, Pastor Alan Ward.
Hello and welcome to My Dad Rocks, a radio show that comes to you each week. Hey, I want to especially welcome our new King Cove listeners. Thanks to Austin Roof, the station manager of KSDP here in Sandpoint, for his efforts to get that translator up and running over there. And I'm so glad that you guys can finally listen to the My Dad Rocks radio show. Now, what is the My Dad Rocks radio show, you ask? Well, it is an hour of spiritual power. It's rock and roll for your soul. It's something I do each week. I come to you and I play the best of Christian hard rock and heavy metal from the 80s and 90s, the golden era of Christian rock and metal. And each week I address from the Bible the subject matter of the music. And these songs have spiritual truths in them, and they speak about things that we all need to ponder, issues and subjects that we all need to be confronted with and to make decisions about. And I trust that you'll find the process very entertaining and very informative. So we're going to go ahead and start the show today. But before we do, I want to warn you that this show is not for the faint of heart. This music will rock your body, and the message will rock your soul. So let's get started on the show, shall we, with our Canadian Christian rock band from the 80s called Daniel Band and their song, He's the Creator. Daniel Ban, our Canadian Christian rock band from the 80s, with their song, He Is the Creator, something, a fact that we all know about. And listen to White Cross here. Now, that was your warm-up song. Those of you new listeners, that's a warm-up song. Next, now we're going to get a little serious, okay? This is White Cross with Attention, Please. White Cross with Sweet Rex Carroll on the guitars there with the amazing riffs that he always does with their song Attention, Please. And that's what, you know, is happening every day. The Bible says in Psalms 19, 1 and 2, it says this: the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works, a work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. You see, God has woven into the very fabric of creation a testimony of his glorious existence. Every day and every night, the creation creation is calling out, saying, "Can I have your attention, please?" As they were singing about there. There's a glorious God. That's what the creation itself is saying. You know, I've heard so many people say, "Hey, if God exists, then why doesn't he just appear to me and show himself to me?" Well, guess what? He has. And he does every single day and every night through the things he's created. He shows you that he exists. You know, we all know there is a God deep down inside. And the Apostle Paul tells us why over in Romans 1. He says this in verse 19, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them," talking about mankind. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God," that is, they were aware there was a God, "they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." You see, when we stand before God on the judgment day, we will have no excuse for not living for the glory of God, because God has made it so abundantly clear that he exists and that he's glorious and that we should live to make much of who he is. And this is why God is angry with mankind. That's right, you heard me. God is angry with man. He's ticked off at mankind. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 18, "For the wrath of God," that is the anger of God, "is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." You see, God's angry with us because he created us to worship and serve him. But instead, we worship and serve ourselves, as Paul went on to say in Romans 1 and verse 25. "For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator." You see, we all place more value, more significance on ourselves and on doing what we want to do and the gratifications of our desires of the flesh and mind than we do on what God wants us to do and pleasing him with our lives. And boy, if that's the way you're living right now, Barron Cross has a song for you to listen to. It's called "Going Nowhere."
Life is short, so go and try. Grab all you can before you die. Easy as you, you're going nowhere. Yeah.
Barren cross going nowhere. If you're living for the lust of your flesh and the desires of your mind, you're going nowhere. Jesus can set you free from that. Listen to Idle Cure as they sing Dead or Alive. Idle Cure with Dead or Alive. You know, they're singing that because you realize that people are sometimes walking around. They're alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. And they were referring primarily to the end of time when we're going to be alive, live forever or die eternally, either in heaven or hell. That's what they were referring to. Hey, listen to Blood Good as they sing a song here. And I want you to listen to these lyrics because, well, they answer a lot of questions for us. This song is called Self-Destruction by Blood Good. Yeah, that was Blood Good with Self-Destruction. You know, many people say, well, man, if there's a God, then why does all this bad stuff happen to us? I mean, why are there earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and famines and all the moral evils, you know, mass killings and serial killers and rapists and murderers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How could God let there be so much pain and sorrow? Well, Blood Good has answered that for us. They said in that song, don't blame God for your own self-destruction. You see, there's a lot of evil in this world, as we all know. There are many horrible things that happen to people in this life, but they can all be traced back to sin. Sin is the source of all natural moral evil in this world. Now, when I say that, I do not mean that if something bad has happened to you, like you've got a terminal illness or you've been molested as a child or something horrible like that, I don't mean that that happened to you because of some specific sin that you committed. That's not what I'm saying. What I mean is that when Adam, our first dad, sinned in the Garden of Eden, it brought about severe judgment from God and terrible consequences for all of creation and mankind. If you take your Bible and you look in Genesis chapter 3, you'll see all the beginnings of all the evils that we face in this life. And in chapter 3 of Genesis in verses 7 and 8, we see that sin brought to humanity guilt and shame, and it gave birth to all the evil things we do to cover up that guilt and shame. Alcoholism, drugs, other things that we do, all the things we do to hide and to try to get away from the guilt and shame we feel. It brought in physical and spiritual death. You know, they're going to physically die now. All of us physically die because of sin of Adam and Eve. And spiritual death, they no longer had a relationship with God. That left a God-sized hole in all of our hearts and has really set us all on an endless and fruitless search for significance and meaning in things outside of God and the things of the world. And this has led to all kinds of evils. I mean, doing and saying whatever it takes to get famous and to have fortune, selling our bodies and our souls to be accepted, to feel like we belong, doing drugs, engaging in premarital sex and adultery, false religions, becoming workaholics, etc., etc., etc. Sin causes all these evils. In verses 9 and 10 of chapter 3 of Genesis, it brought fear. Think of all the evil that is committed because we're afraid of things, because we're afraid of getting caught, or because we're afraid of dying, or etc., etc. Sin's brought all that kind of evil into the world. And in verses 12 and 13 of Genesis 3, we see that sin started the blame game and fault finding and led to all the divorces and broken relationships and conflicts and wars that come with that. And that leads to further evils like malicious gossiping and lying and things like that. In verses 14 and 15 of Genesis 3, we see sin let loose upon mankind, the most evil being there ever was, the devil. He's the father of all lies, of all mass murderers, of serial killers, of child predators. He's a murderer. He's the mastermind behind this sinful world system that we live in. You see, sin made Lucifer a devil, and it caused the angels to fall with him, and sin let them all loose upon mankind. In verse 16, we see that sin introduced suffering into conceiving and birthing children. And that's led to all kinds of natural evils like premature births and mothers dying in childbirth and kidnapping and baby trafficking and things of that nature. We see that sin began in verse 16 of Genesis 3, the battle of the sexes and the perversion of God's ordained structure for relationships between men and women. And boy, from that has arisen all kinds of evil like manipulation, spousal abuse, feminism, lesbianism, homosexuality. Sin brought all this stuff on us. In verses 17 and 19 of Genesis 3, we see that sin brought corruption to the earth, and that made our work hard and frustrating and wearisome. And that corruption of the creation also brought all kinds of natural disasters and fires, floods, tsunamis, droughts, famines, earthquakes, tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, etc., etc., etc. It brought all this corruption to our bodies, which means we get sick and we die. and get our bones broken, we get old. etc. The whole universe was affected by sin. That's why evil things happen, because God is punished for sin. That's the curse of our sin. And we can't blame it all on Adam and Eve, because you and I sin just like they did. We're no different. And all we do is add to the corruption with our sin, and therefore all the evil that we experience in this world. And that's why, you know, our local Sandpoint artist, Aging Elisha, sings a song about why we don't need to believe the devil. And that's the name of the song. Listen to what it says.
Give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. Hoping that you quest for joy, it's not a chain reaction. Cause when lust deceives, you know it gives birth to sin. A temporary pleasure, hold on to the sins that he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to be. Yes, he did. Don't believe the devil. He wants to steal your soul tonight. Don't believe the devil. Give your life to Jesus Christ tonight.
And that was our local Sandpoint artist, Aging Elisha, singing Don't Believe the Devil. And that song quoted from John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life, Jesus says, and have it abundantly. You know what that means? That means that every temptation to sin that we face is meant to steal, kill, and destroy. No matter how innocent it looks, no matter how fun it looks, it's all meant to steal, kill, and destroy. But on the other hand, it means that every command of God in the Bible is meant to bring us an extraordinary life, abundant life of blessing and happiness. No matter how restrictive it looks or how difficult it looks, it's meant to bring us an abundant life. Well, who are you listening to? Are you listening to the devil who's out to steal, kill, and destroy? Or are you listening to Jesus who's trying to give you an abundant life? Because they're both calling out to you today. Let's listen to Deliverance sing The Call, talking about that very thing. We'll be right back. Hey, that was Deliverance with The Call. You know, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Jesus is calling you today. And if you repent, if you'll turn away from your life of sin and surrender yourself up lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus Christ, then you'll not only be forgiven of your sins, you'll also be spared from the wrath of God that is coming upon all mankind. John 3:36 says this, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Let's listen to Daryl Mansfield sing about this in his song Thunder and Lightning. Yeah, Daryl Mansfield singing Thunder and Lightning, talking about the return of Christ and the judgment day that's coming upon his return. Letter 7 also sings a song about it. It's called Judgment Day. Judgment Day by Letter 7. You know, they were singing about something out of Revelations 20, verses 11 through 15. It says this, and this is what's going to happen one day, more sure than I'm sitting here talking to you and you're listening to me. It says this, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know, talk about something scary as we approach Halloween. We'll listen to the Fires of Babylon sing about this very thing in their song Lake of Fire. Fires of Babylon, Lake of Fire, singing about the eternal destination of those who do not surrender their hearts to Christ on this life. You know what? The horror of that reality is what makes really the gospel, the message about Jesus, such good and wonderful news. See, Jesus Christ died to save people from that fate. He died so that they would not have to go to that place of torment and experience that judgment and wrath of God in hell. He died for that. And more than that, Jesus took a people not only to save them from that wrath, but to take them from being self-worshippers with all the pain and suffering that comes from that, and to make them God worshiper, so that they can experience all the joy and happiness that comes from that in this life and for all eternity. Hey, it's time for you to surrender your life to Christ and to start giving God the glory, because that's what he created you for. And that's what we're going to end on today, is Stryper's song, More Than a Man. That's going to do it for us today. My Dad Rocks, join us next week. You can find us on Facebook at My Dad Rocks. If you're in Sandpoint, come visit us on Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock worship, Sandpoint Baptist Chapel. Goodbye. God bless.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The UN Security Council voted unanimously today to end the legal cover it gave to NATO military action in Libya. NPR's Michelle Kelman reports Libya's transitional leaders had hoped the UN would wait a bit.
In March, the UN Security Council authorized all necessary means to protect Libyan civilians, giving NATO the green light for military action. Russia's ambassador Vitaly Churkin, who has blamed NATO for overstepping this mandate, welcomed the newly passed Security Council resolution, which makes clear the UN authorization ends next week.
We expect the NATO Council to act in accordance with this decision of the Security Council of the United Nations and to suspend its operation at midnight of October 31.
U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice says this closes what she described as a proud chapter in the history of the U.N. Security Council, where it acted promptly to protect civilians. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
President Obama is expressing confidence about the new debt plan worked out by European leaders. As NPR's Mara Liasson reports, he spoke at a meeting with the Prime Minister of the Czech Republic.
The president said the new deal is only a first step, and there has to be strong execution and follow-up to the stabilization plan put forward by Germany and France. But Mr. Obama made it clear that the health of the U.S. economy is tied to what happens in Europe.
If Europe is weak, if Europe is not growing, as our largest trading partner, that's going to have an impact on our businesses and our ability to create jobs here in the United States.
Stock markets rallied on the news of the deal, under which European banks would take a 50% loss on the face value of their Greek debt. The banks will also have to raise more capital to protect them from other sovereign debt defaults. Mara Liasson, NPR News, the White House.
At least one member of the so-called Super Committee, whose job it is to come up with a plan to slash the deficit by $1.2 trillion, is acknowledging it's going to be difficult for that group to reach a consensus. Former House Speaker John Boehner says he's continuing to push the bipartisan group to try to come